Let me tell you a fun story. So there was a guy, let's call him Mike. So one day, Mike wanted to make his last will and testament, and he wanted his lawyer to keep it. So later, he died, and his lawyer is standing before the family and reads out his last will and testament. So to my lovely wife, I leave the house and 50 acres of land and $1 million. And to my son, I know you love luxurious cars, so I leave you my big Lexus and Mercedes. And to my sweet daughter, I leave you, I love you so much, so I leave you my yacht and $200,000 for you. And to my dear, dear brother-in-law, who always talks about, health, 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 and health is better than money, so I leave you my sun lamp, so stay healthy. We are living in a time that none of us has experienced before. Yes, I'm talking about coronavirus. And it's a fact in our lives. It is not just threatening our physical health, but also our mental health too, because it has switched our mindset from living to survival. We have been always thinking of well-being. How can I improve my financial condition? How can I decorate my house so that we may make home? How can I have a good relationship with friends and neighbors? But now, all of a sudden, our priority becomes, how can I survive and stay away from other people to protect us and the other people? And it increases anxiety and fear for our lives and our beloved ones. And it decreases job security and financial security. And it could make us feel despair, hopeless, and lonely. During the week, I sat in the sanctuary imagining you sitting here and there with me. And you know what? I already miss you. I miss your smile, and I really want to hug you. And I felt lonely. And I may say, it is okay to feel vulnerable when you feel it. It is okay not to be okay. And it is okay to call your friends and talk about that and listen to your feeling. Listen to your emotion. And be honest with yourself and with God. But always remember that you are the beloved child of God. And you are surrounded by love and care, and we are the community of faith for one another. So let me ask you, what if you know the last moment of your life is coming and you know exactly what day it is? So what do you think you would feel? To whom you want to make a phone call? And what would you like to say? In our gospel reading today, we come to the Last Supper, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be arrested in a couple of hours, and the disciples, they have no idea yet, but he knows in 24 hours, he's going to be put to death. At this point, what he's saying to the disciple is like, this is the stuff I want to remember. Don't forget the mission. Don't forget the vision. Don't forget the thing that I have done and the things that I have taught you. Remember them. I came for that. And he gave us the promise. The promise that the death is not the end. So let's think about what Jesus does in our scripture reading. Washing his disciples' feet. In ancient time, people, they were wearing sandals. These are open-toe sandals. They are not comfortable at all. People were walking on dusty road most of the time, and 2,000 years ago, they didn't have any car or train or not even a bicycle. Let's use our imagination. You walk a lot on open-toe sandals without socks. You walk on a dusty road all day, then how do you feel on your feet when you come home? Not comfortable at all. You'd have exhausted feet, and when you come home, the first thing you want to do, that is probably you take off your shoes, sandal at the door, and your feet ache, and they don't just ache, they stink. Smell! Oh, I don't want to go there further, but anyway, when you come home, you find water, and you wash your feet, you feel refreshed, and you feel better. And of course, you smell better. I like that part. And if you have a slave in Jesus' time, your slave would wash your feet. But some books and commentary, they said, washing somebody's feet was really humiliating. So even a slave, they can deny or refuse washing their master's feet if it is a Jewish slave. You can force them whatever you want them to do, some sort of dirty work or heavy work, but not washing your feet. So it has to be a Gentile slave, because it was so humiliating. So on that night, disciples, they have no idea that Jesus was going to be arrested and crucified. They thought Jesus came to Jerusalem and he's going to be the king. So here is what they were talking about and debating around the table. It was like, which one of us is going to be the greatest? It is like, who's going to be the vice president and who's going to be the minister? I will be the one. I'm better than you. Can you imagine that? After 3 years with Jesus, they were still talking about that. They were still debating which one would be the greatest. They still don't get it. Maybe that's why Jesus brought a vase of water and towel and he began washing their dusty and smelly feet. And after Jesus finishing washing their feet, John recorded the word of Jesus. Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher. You call me Lord. You're right. But that is what I am. So I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. So you ought to wash one another's feet. If you know these things, you are blessed. It was the time of the Greco-Roman world, and one of their highest virtue was honor. Honor. They didn't expect you to play the role of a servant because you are an honored individual. But now, Jesus turns it upside down. Jesus turns it on its head. So instead of the Greco-Roman virtue of honor, he gave the new virtue of humility. And this has changed everything. In our culture, when you see somebody who is kind of in a high position and who humbles himself or herself and cares about the other people with servant leadership, then you respect that person with your heart. And that began from Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So humility is one of the best lessons we have, Jesus, into our civilization. On that night, when he washed his disciples' feet, he said, "My friend, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. I told you, this is a unique statement you may only find in John's Gospel. Jesus doesn't simply say, love your God and love your neighbors, that's it. No. In John's Gospel, he says, just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. It is a powerful statement that Jesus loves you and me. And the love that Jesus talks about, it is not just about feeling. It is not just about emotion. He's talking about the determination to practice good toward one another, even if they don't deserve it. It is to look to see who needs compassion, kindness, and mercy, and who needs small touch and great touch, and who is in need of you to sacrifice in order to build them up and lift them up, particularly when they don't deserve it from you. And this is what love looks like when Jesus is talking about love. And this is what we really need in our heart, particularly in this season of a pandemic. Jesus defines love saying, just as I have loved you, you should love one another by washing their feet. He's pointing toward the act, defining what love looks like. It is the love we receive, and it is the love we are called to do and give one another. And it is the love that changes who we are, and it is the love that changes the one whom we see and treat. And it is the love that changes our family, our friends, and our neighbors, and our community. And Jesus gives us the promise also. He talks about the example of humility. He talks about his commandment of love. And now, we are talking about the promise right after the supper. Jesus says, hey guys, I'm going to leave you guys soon. I'm going to die. As he was telling them, he looked at their face. Some of them were scared. Some of them were anxious, just like us in our time. And some of them had no idea what he was talking about. Maybe they were afraid for their own lives. And at the moment, Jesus said these words that we usually have for the funerals. Let's listen what Jesus says. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I will come again. I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. A few years ago, I received a call. Pastor, my mom is rapidly declining, and she wants to see you. Would you please come? So I drove to a nursing home where his mother stayed. It was about 15 minutes driving distance. So while driving, I thought about that, what I need to do. Okay, I have the Bible here, and I have my anointing, oil here. Okay, what do I need to say? What do I need to say? In my mind, I thought about that. When I entered her room, she was so fragile and tired. But she gave me a big smile. And she said, Pastor, I think I'm going home today. I just wanted to see you before I go. So I sat next to her bed, holding her hand. Okay, ma'am, How are you feeling? How are you feeling? Then she said, yeah, I think I feel fine. And actually, I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm coming to Jesus. You know what? I'm going to see my husband, and I'm going to see my parents. I'm actually excited. Yes, I will probably miss my children and grandchildren, but I will pray for them in heaven. And she continues, Pastor, do you have a dog? No, ma'am, I don't have one. I think you should have one. And you know what? If you have a dog, and if you are in your room, even though your dog can't see you inside, but he knows you are inside, and try to get in. Maybe the dog has no idea what the room looks like, but if I am inside, no matter what it looks like, he might think it's going to be okay. And I know where I'm going. I'm going home. Then she passed away 2 hours later with a big smile. I think that is the beautiful imagery of going to heaven. We don't know what it looks like, but we know the promise. We know the promise that Jesus gives us. So this week, I want us to ponder 3 things that we find in our scripture reading today. The first one is the example of Jesus Christ that we are meant to serve one another. The second is the commandment of love that we are meant to love one another just as Jesus has loved you and me. And the last one is the promise of Jesus Christ in which we don't have to be afraid in any situation. We still have to wash our hands so many times, more than 20 seconds. Please wash your hands for more than 20 seconds. We still have to keep our physical distance. We have to suspend our hugging. You know what? I really miss hugging you a lot. It's really painful not to hug you. But I will wait for the moment I may hug you without any concern or any fear of the virus. But in all situations, with Jesus' promise, we don't have to be afraid because we have the promise. Amen.